A reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 9. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Come to the water, all who are thirsty. Though you have nothing, I bid you come and be filled with goodness, delighting your soul in plenty. The passage from the prophet Isaiah is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. The prophet speaks the word of God, inviting the people, inviting us to come and experience God's goodness. The words are as relevant now as when they were spoken over 2,500 years ago. Even though they may sound odd in today's commercial environment, they may be exactly what is needed. Today we buy so much of what defines our life. We go to a restaurant to eat fine meals and savor the dining experience. We purchase package deals to take us to new experiences. We pay for gym memberships to keep us in shape. We pay for advisors and counselors to help us through our career. We have insurance to guard us against any insecurity. We pay to rest and relax. And maybe the church would fit better into that commercial environment if it offered a spiritual experience at a price. Come if you have no money, come and eat. What's really worthwhile cannot be bought with money. The text even says, come and buy food without money. Buying without money? Well, yes, because you will get something of value. Anything worth having has a price, but you won't be able to get what God is offering through the currency of this world. So come, you who have nothing. What you will get is nourishment and refreshment for your soul. Now, in some translations today, there's no mention of the word soul, but the word is there in the Hebrew. At some point late last century, translators were a bit reticent to use the word soul because they did not want readers to think of the Platonic distinction between body and soul. In Hebrew thought, the soul was not separate from the body. Rather, it's the spiritual dimension of the whole person. And so when it says in verse 3 of our readings that our soul will live when we listen to God's word, this doesn't mean that there's some secret way to ensure the immortality of the soul after the body dies, but rather that we as a whole person will be revived, that we will be spiritually alive. God will be in a relationship with us through a covenant that is based on the covenants of old, those of creation, Abraham, and it seems here, most importantly, of David. This will be an everlasting covenant. It will be a covenant that remains through death to new life. Now David was a witness of God's goodness, though an imperfect witness, to be clear. He was a leader to God's people. And so you, the text seems to say, but here we have to be careful because it doesn't say that. The Hebrew switches from the plural, addressing all, to the singular, addressing just one person here. We don't realize because it's just you. So it's a strange shift. But when we read the verse within the book of Isaiah, it makes sense. Because especially more so when we read it from a Christian perspective. For Isaiah speaks here about the servant, often seen as the Messiah. And you notice that in the book of Isaiah, that it often shifts between singular and plural. And often commentators have said, if it shifts to the singular, it talks about the servant, the suffering servant or the servant of God. And this is the servant in whom all the promises of God's people are concentrated. Through him, God will bring salvation. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified the servant. The servant is the Christ who will call nations that he does not know, and nations that do not know him will run to him. As Christians, of course, we profess that Jesus is the anointed servant of Israel, the one who has brought God's new covenant to all, so that people from every nation should come to God and find new life. After talking about the servant, the prophet, as God's messenger, returns to the plural, that is, calls all people to respond. Now it's the y'all, you all, as they would say in the southern states. You all, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's God who is calling the people, calling us to experience the generous life, the goodness which money cannot buy. And yes, that does mean that we repent, that we come to God admitting our sins, and God will pardon us and give us freedom. And at that point, the prophet then contrasts the ways of humans with the ways of God, the thoughts of humans with the thoughts of God. For too easily, the ways of humans are the ways of the wicked, the thoughts of humans, the thoughts of the unrighteous. In our judgments, we easily fail. Our decisions so easily lead to brokenness and hurt. So we need to repent of the illusion that we can be like God, knowing good and evil. We are human and fail. And while this brings us to acknowledge God's utter difference and God's holiness, it also gives us comfort. We can place the complexities of this world into God's hands. We can trust in God's transforming love, and in our confusion, we can trust that God is over all things. The passage then continues, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So in a sense, I think it's not easy to preach on such a beautiful passage because if you look at it closely, it's all there. I added a bit of Hebrew knowledge, but there's not that much more to say without distracting from the words themselves. And so in response, I'll close in a prayer. Come to the water, you say, Lord, and we watch whether some water has collected in our dry cisterns. Come and be filled with goodness, you say, Lord, and we work hard to make money so that we can pursue our dreams. Come and delight your soul, you say, Lord, and we pay for an expensive experience that makes us thirst soon after. Come and eat, you say, Lord, and we ask again whether it is really free. Come and enjoy what really satisfies, you say, Lord, and we wonder where the catch is in all of this. Listen that your soul may live, you say, Lord, And we wonder whether we heard right. Come to the water, you say, Lord. We have come hesitantly, not understanding. We have sipped and you have refreshed us. We have tasted and have been filled. Our souls have delighted in your goodness, and yet sometimes it feels as if our souls are dry, our thirst unquenched. O God, send your Holy Spirit that you may break into our lives, that not our own ways and thoughts may be our guide, but your ways and your thoughts. May your word sprout and bring fruit in us, and may we drink of the living water that your Son, Jesus Christ, gives, so that we will drink and never be thirsty again. For the water that Jesus gives becomes in us a spring of water gushing forth to eternal life. Come to the water, you say, Lord. Amen.